There you go. Today's sermon, it's about forgiveness. And if past sermons are anything to go by, there'll be people stopping me on the door as they go out saying things like, if you're talking about forgiveness and you expect me to forgive her, whatever, there'll be all those kinds of statements made. Usually people struggle with this subject, perhaps as much as anything else, because they think that forgiveness implies things that it probably doesn't. It doesn't pretend that something in the past didn't happen. Forgiveness doesn't do that. Forgiveness doesn't condone something bad that took place in the past. So this morning we'll look at forgiveness, and we'll also look at those other issues that cause people problems with the whole point of coming to terms with what forgiveness means. Forgiveness is important, and it's demanded, and it's necessary, and it must be unlimited. When you look at the passage from Matthew today, Jesus gives this little story about a servant who owes so much money. I mean, the amount of money that this slave owed, he could never have amassed this amount of debt. Jesus is really going, you know, into great lengths. He's using the biggest number that they had and the biggest amount of money that they had and multiplying it together. You know, this was more than the debt of the whole of the Roman Empire. You know, this was a huge debt. And Jesus said, someone got forgiven for all of that. And then someone else owed him this little amount, and he was really nasty. And Jesus is making the point, look, you've been forgiven so much. You know, when you realize how much you've been forgiven, you cannot help, or you shouldn't be able to help, but to forgive others. Our forgiveness, it should know no bounds. And poor old Peter, you know, he comes to Jesus and he says, you know, and he must have been getting the point that Jesus liked the whole concept of forgiveness. So he comes to Jesus and he says, should I forgive, you know, how many times? Seven times? And Peter must have thought he was being really magnanimous, you know, and really generous in this seven times statement. And Jesus says, oh, 77, it was 77 times seven. And Peter must have felt so deflated because he was trying to really show how he was learning. And Jesus says, no, don't keep a record. Don't even count. If you're counting forgiveness, you've missed the point. Forgiveness must be unlimited. I remember going to a restaurant, and it used to say on the menu at the end, coffee and unlimited fudge. That's what it used to say. It used to say coffee. And the menu changed a couple of years ago, and it said coffee and fudge. I often wonder in my mind, what must have happened, right? That caused them to get the menu changed. This is the cornfields up the road there. What must have happened to cause the menu to be changed? Someone must have gone in and just made a complete and utter pig of themselves. But that's unlimited, is there for us. Forgiveness must be unlimited. And why must it be unlimited? Well, for a whole range of reasons. Firstly, you know, forgiveness is good for you. This is something that we're being told, not just in the Bible, but by just about everyone else. Psychologists are telling us the importance of it. On a purely human level, forgiveness is beneficial. Apparently, if you hold on to anger, it increases your chances of a heart attack. Don't ask me how, but apparently it also increases your chances of high cholesterol, cancer, blood pressure, all these things. Although if you think about it, you know, I know when I'm in the car, if I'm in a forgiving mood, oh, pull out, dear, pull out, you know. And if I'm in a bad mood, you silly woman, you know. And you can feel when you get to the end of your journey, you know, if you're in a good mood, you're all peaceful, aren't you? You know, you're all kind of... And if you're... And it often depends on what I'm listening to on the radio, you know? If I'm listening to some nice, mellow jazz, you know, then everyone on the road's my friend. Or if you're listening to something else, it's winding you up, you know? And I suppose, you know, just from a purely physical level, forgiveness is good for you. It helps you live longer. Research has shown us this. If you can let go of all of that kind of pent-up kind of anger and bitterness, then obviously you're going to live a better life. And forgiveness is about letting go. It's about good words. It's about optimism for the future. It's about all the things that are good for our lives. Forgiveness has a healing power about it. And we know that. We know that. It's just common sense. Letting go. I was thinking of the story about the monkey who gets trapped because he goes to this big jar and he puts his hand in the jar. You probably all know the story. And he pulls the coconut, and because he's got the coconut, he can't get his hand back out of the jar. Yes? But he won't let go. So he gets caught because he won't let go. It's sort of a self-defeating thing. If we don't let go, then we become trapped ourselves. So we've got to kind of let go of all that bitterness that's in the past and just leave it there. So let's deal with some of those issues which people find really, really difficult. I can't forgive because how could I forget? And you get these two words, forgiveness and forgetting, going together so often. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to forget. You don't have to forgive and forget. Two men were talking about marriage. One man said, my wife, she argues all the time. And when we argue, she keeps getting historical. And his friend interrupted. He said, you don't mean historical, you mean hysterical. He said, no, I mean historical. She keeps bringing up the past. She's bringing up the past. She drags everything up. Forgiveness means that we leave things in the past, in their hurtful form. But it doesn't mean that we have to forget. Forgetting, that's amnesia. It's not forgiveness. And I suppose, humanly speaking, there are things which we can never put out of our minds, and neither should we. But forgiveness allows us to look back on those things without their power to hurt us anymore, without their ability to inflict pain. We've neutered them so they can't hurt us. Forgive and forget, that's about denial. And that's never good. And there are some hurts and scars in the past, in lives, which need to be remembered. And they should be remembered. If we don't remember some of the hurts of the past, then we allow ourselves to become victims again in the future. So we should never just pretend that they didn't happen. If we forget about things, then we can repeat our past mistakes. But we remember things not so that we can keep on playing the role of the victim and wallowing in self-pity. We don't want to be consumed by those things in the past. Instead, it empowers us to make wiser choices in the future. You remember the whole problem in South Africa and the hurts caused by apartheid. Desmond Tutu declared, "Forgiveness draws out the sting in the memory that threatens to poison our entire existence." The sting in the memory that threatens to poison our entire existence. Forgiving is about not allowing those things in the past to have any poison in them ever again. Tutu says, "We must forgive if there is to be a future." Not forget, but forgive. It's a release. It's the negativity and the hostility of the past. We've let go of it. And Christ compels us to forgive others so that we don't poison our own souls. And then there's the other chestnut that people often come to me after I've preached about forgiveness with. And this is about condoning wrong. That forgiveness somehow implies that bad stuff, you know, it wasn't as bad as we're kind of glossing over it. And forgiveness, it doesn't require us to forget, and neither does it require us to ignore injustice or injury and wrongs. Sin must be acknowledged for what it is, and forgiveness doesn't put a gloss over it at all. We need to know, as Christians, that certain things are wrong, and we don't justify them by forgiving them. Christians equate forgiveness as recognizing the wrong and dealing with it. If we ignore the wrong and don't recognize sin, then actually we're very dangerous people. And we allow that bad behavior to continue. So often the church has preached that forgiveness requires people to be allowed second chances where it's inappropriate, And that's often meant that victims have become even more victimized, that criminals have become more criminal. You see this when priests have been relocated away from churches where they've misbehaved to other churches and carried on their bad practices. You see it when often in the past, perhaps women in abusive relationships were told to go back to the abusive partner. This is not what forgiveness is about at all. Forgiveness doesn't condone sin. Forgiveness doesn't excuse wrong. Forgiveness insists that perpetrators confess and repent. Forgiveness wants that to happen. That's what it's all about. And forgiveness should never be confused with reconciliation. Because reconciliation, it needs two people. But forgiveness only needs one. It only takes you to forgive. For a reconciliation to take place, that other person has to come to a stage of recognizing their wrong and changing. So today we're talking about us, what happens inside our own hearts. The behavior of the one who needs to be forgiven is a quite different story. If a person accepts forgiveness, then the assumption is that they know they're naughty and they want to change. If someone comes to me and says, can you absolve me from my sins? I've done this, this and this. Then I would say to them, well, of course. And forgiveness is open to you. But if you really mean that, then you will do this and this and this. It's not cheap forgiveness. It's costly and it demands change. But forgiveness is about you alone, setting yourself free from the burden of the past and moving on into a new life. And we do this, yes, for all kinds of reasons. We do it because it's good for us. The psychologists tell us it's good for us. We forgive because we know that we're going to live longer and better lives. We do it because we've got no choice. We do it for a whole variety of reasons. But ultimately, the reason why we forgive is because we are forgiven. And because we recognize the enormity of the price paid for our forgiveness by Christ on the cross, therefore we can do no other than forgive. And when we realize the enormity of the debt paid for us, when we look at the cross, when we see Christ on the cross being nailed and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, how can we possibly look at the cheap offences caused against us and do anything else than forgive? Christ has left our sins in the past, so we must also learn to let go and leave those things which have grieved us firmly in the past, so that they can no longer hurt or harm us. Amen. Let's sing a hymn, number 187, God is Love, hymn number 187.